as it is all about the children, even after they're born. Rick Smith.
I sat and I watched the hearing on Tuesday of billionaire Betsy, and, you know, understand, with her at the helm, the standardized testing regime is only going to get, well, that much more ingrained in our education system, and, well, that much more profitable, of course. And, you know, because understand, to me, the testing is all about the profit. When I was a kid going to school, and this, you know, I don't think it was all that long ago, but the nuns used to go over and mimeograph off a test, and bang, there it was. And yes, mimeograph. And that was your test. And you took it, they graded it. The next day you knew, bang, I either got this or I didn't. And you learned from that. These standardized tests don't do that. And the amount of these standardized tests is just getting worse. When I was in school, it was like 2 hours. We took the Iowa test of basic skills, and bang, we moved on. Now it's all about the test. And so what happens when these tests get so complicated, so bizarre, that even the people who are the subject of the test can't answer the question? Well, that's what I saw over at Huffington Post when I saw the article, "I Can't Answer These Texas Standardized Test Questions About My Own Poem." That's why I've asked Sarah Holbrook to come talk with us. She actually wrote the poems that the kids were supposed to read and answer questions on. She couldn't even answer the questions. Sarah, thanks for taking time for us.
I'm happy to talk to you, Rick. It's something I care deeply about.
So this has got a kind of one. You got to be kind of proud of the fact that, you know, these for-profit companies think, hey, this is a good poem. Let's put it on a test.
Well, I guess. A teacher called me from Texas last spring and said I had the dubious honor of being the only poet to have been selected twice.
Wow.
Right. So then I called the publisher and found that they had sold the poems to Pearson in 2011. Basically, they rented the poems to them for the test for $350 a poem. And according to our contract, I received $175 per poem.
All right. So you got $175 to confuse thousands of kids for basically all of eternity, because once these tests are done, I don't see them changing them very often. So walk me through when you found these questions that were on this test about your poem. What'd you think?
Well, first I laughed. You know, I went through them with the teacher. She actually invited me and my husband, Michael Salinger, to come to her school to try to explain to kids how to answer these questions. And they're so vague. They're ludicrous. They're written so that they have more than one right answer. And the 12-year-old who's taking this test needs to weigh which is the most right answer. And I found on many of the questions, I could choose all of the above.
Right. So hold on. So the most right, when I was a kid, multiple guess was there was one right answer and the other three were not.
Exactly. And I think it's very fair to ask kids if they have read something, say that what they've read is about a red house, and to ask the student afterwards, what color was the house? And that proves they read it, they understood it, right?
Have a little retention.
And as soon as we get into why did the author paint the house red, we have totally slid off the sidewalk.
So why did you paint the house red?
I don't know. One of the questions was, why did I put stanza break? Well, because when I punctuate poetry, like I want people to read it. And so I want people to pause there. And they had it that it was some kind of change in mood or whatever. And the one question particularly sticks in my mind where it said, the imagery in certain lines helps the reader understand the shift in the speaker's attitude, the speaker's unpleasantness, why the speaker has no friends. Well, unpleasantness and no friends kind of means the same thing, right? I could choose either one of these.
Yeah, but I've got friends who are unpleasant, and they're still my friends.
Exactly. Exactly. And what you're doing is you are bringing your experience to the poem. And that's what we as artists want, whether we're writing a poem or a song or a piece of a painting. We want you to bring your experience and what you see in the text. And this cuts that out entirely.
So what do you say to the person who says, you know, Sarah, the reality is we want kids to get beyond the regurgitation level. We want them to get beyond just, you know, the restating of facts. We want them to actually interpret, do some critical thinking, maybe, you know, maybe go beyond just the house was red and maybe start thinking of some other things. Is that a bad thing?
I don't think it's a bad thing, but I think it's something to be done in discussion with students. First of all, let's scroll back. I think the whole idea of evaluating a student without any input from that student's teacher is ludicrous.
I agree.
Because, and this goes to what we saw happening in the interviews with the incoming Secretary of Education. This is the difference between progress and proficiency. And if we don't ask the teacher, how is that student doing? We don't know if that student has gone from, in 1 year, say, a second grade reading level to a fifth grade level, reading level, which would be a quantum leap. But they still might fail this test. So they're considered not proficient. Their teacher may be penalized. My own daughter is a teacher in Virginia. 40% of her evaluation is based on how her students do on these guessing games. In the state of Pennsylvania, students have to get an 80% on the test to pass.
That's nuts, isn't it?
Yeah, it's nuts.
It almost makes you think that they've set up and they've rigged the game specifically so that public education fails, that a large number of kids fail, and that they can defund it and move to a whole, you know, like a whole parallel system, you know, like a for-profit system of charter schools and vouchers. If I were conspiratorial, I would think that was kind of what was really going on here.
I think that is true. I think you're right on the money. And I think the second issue here is that all of this testing, the test prep, the parasite companies that go along with the test, that's all market-driven. And I used to be in marketing and PR. First thing you have to do if you're trying to market a product is prove that there's a need, right?
Right.
So
our kids are failing.
Yeah, exactly. So we have to say, your kids are failing, your teachers are no good. And we can give a test that will prove that. Therefore, you have to buy our materials to fix it.
I mean, at the end of the day, though, do you see this, and again, this is part of my belief of what's happening, is we're moving away from schools in general to, you know, basically everything being online and everything being purchasable, turning education really into a commodity instead of a social good, instead of something that's going to enrich your life. It's simply about you buy this, you get this, and you get a job. At least that's what the way it seems to me.
Right. And some of the questions that they're asking them are, who cares? I mean, that's what I think. How is this reflective of the student's reading comprehension or the teacher's teaching abilities? And the answer is not at all. Yeah. Because the test questions are written by someone who has never seen the curriculum that teacher's teaching, has never met the kid. It's on its face. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, I look at some of these questions, and I've been following this for years, and you look at these questions, you go, who exactly made this up? Now, look, I've got a master's degree. I'm not the dumbest guy in the world. You know, I'm not tooting my horn, but
right.
I'm not really the dumbest guy in the world. I've looked at a lot of these questions, and they're really incomprehensible to me. You go, exactly what are you asking here? And to ask a child to be able to answer those questions just kind of blows my mind.
Right. I have heard from all kinds of people since this article came out, and some teachers who, like you, say, I have multiple master's degrees and I can't answer the questions. And then I've also heard from some college professors who come in and say, you know, there is consensus on what the opinions are and of what meaning is on this poem or that poem. And I, again, would argue with that. I don't think that that's something that we can't treat 12-year-olds like they're just short college sophomores.
Right. Well, I mean, even, you know, like poetry is, you know, supposed to be something that, at least from my perspective, is something that you interpret in multiple ways. It's like art. You can't look at it. Not everybody looks at the Mona Lisa or Whistler's Mother or you name it, you know, Picasso's Blue Period, and comes away with the same experience. And I'm sorry, you can say there's consensus, but not everyone's walking away with the consensus.
Right. And not only that, but our consensus changes over time. Let's go to a famous poem like Stopping by the Woods on a Snowy Evening. I read that in middle school, and I understood the words of it, but it's really about a midlife crisis. So until my kids got older and I was older, I didn't really understand, and miles to go before I sleep, and miles to go before I sleep. That came, my interpretation of that poem evolved. And another thing on poetry, if a poem is worth anything, it should invite a second reading. Think of the poems that you love, right? You don't just skim them once and then then answer a bunch of questions because the clock is ticking.
Right.
You should be able to go back and revisit that poem, see another layer, see another... hear it in your own voice as you read it through a second, a third time. And for people who don't read a lot of poetry, think about a favorite song. You've heard it once. You want to hit replay. Oh, yeah, what was that? Let me hear that again.
It begs the question, you know, why we're putting poetry on a standardized test. You know, the idea was maybe just me, but it was to make sure that all kids had a general baseline of, you know, everyone knew what 2 + 2 was. Everyone knew basic math. Everyone knew basic facts, you know, English, basic things. It seems like these tests have now gone well beyond ensuring that kids in Alabama and kids in Pennsylvania all know what, you know what basic algebra is or know what a verb or a noun is. It seems to go well beyond just what it was sold from the beginning.
I totally agree with you. And the tests that you were talking about, the Iowa test of basic skills, or the test that your teacher gave to you and then a week later you got it back.
No, we got it the next day.
That not only showed what you knew, but it also informed your teacher's teaching.
Yep.
So your teacher knew if 40% of the kids in the class did not get that lesson about the Trojan horse, I better revisit that.
Exactly. Right? And this is why, you know, when we opted our kids out of these standardized tests, which we have done each of the last several years, I tell the kids, look, this isn't because I'm against testing. I'm a huge proponent of testing. We should be testing kids early and often. But you know what? Like when I was a kid, the test came in the next day and you go, oh, I didn't get this right. How do I get this right tomorrow? I'm a big fan of that. The diagnostic testing, big fan of. This stuff where you take a test in March and don't get the results until November is just mind-blowingly stupid to me.
It is, and I think a lot of the questions, and I have heard from different people various stories, but it sounds like people are paid by the question or by the entry.
By the word in the question.
Right, something like that. So it is piecework. So there's presumably an editor that sits down and looks at all the pieces, but again, now... Texas is unique. The only reason I found out that my poems were on this test is that Texas has opted out of the Common Core, and they post the past tests online so that teachers can use those past tests to teach their kids how to take tests. So they're devoting a great deal of their time to this is the way the guessing game is played. Not teaching content. Not teaching, as you said, how to use a comma or about Trojan horses or about photosynthesis, but actually teaching kids how to take tests. And that's why I actually wrote the article, is a young teacher, Sean, from Texas, then contacted me in December, 10 o'clock one night. He was trying to interpret one of these test prep materials on one of my poems and about a stanza break that was not put in the test prep material. So he didn't know. But think about this. He's staying up late on a Wednesday night in December preparing a lesson to prepare his kids for tests they're not going to take till next spring.
That tells you how much, one, how much they mean, and two, you're talking about a really committed teacher.
He's a very committed teacher. I mean, he sought me out on Facebook. But why is he doing that? What kind of ideas could he have been coming up with? What kind of reader response could his students have been doing for poetry? They could have been writing their own poems. They could have been writing a general interpretation.
It's crazy, isn't it? I mean, while we're spending all of this time focusing on how to take tests, we're not doing simple things like I've got a ninth grade daughter who doesn't know anything about diagramming sentences. In ninth grade, I hated diagramming sentences. Evidently, they're not going to do it.
Right. And I hear from a lot of content area teachers on the high school level, when my husband and I go to visit schools, they say, will you help our kids? They can't write a complete sentence, or they don't know how to structure a paragraph for science. And the reason is, in English class, they've been focused on this, crap, instead of teaching the basics of what teachers always taught.
If
you take 40 to 60 days out of your instructional time as an English language arts teacher, you've really given up a lot.
No, you certainly have. And it's all because we need to put profit into this whole system. So let me ask you the last question I've got for you now. Now that you've become aware that your questions are on this test and your poems are we working to correct and say, no, this isn't what I was thinking, and this is why I painted the house, or anything? Or have you gotten any response from Pearson or any of these groups?
I haven't. I had one person approach me on Twitter, and people can check out that conversation. And I'm pretty sure she's selling test prep materials. So it is market-driven. We just have to remember that. What worries me is if they take poetry off of the proficiency test, you know what will happen?
What? We'll never talk about poetry again.
It'll drop out of the curriculum.
Yeah.
I saw that happen during No Child Left Behind Act in Florida, where they were only testing math and reading, and if the kids were failing math and reading, they got no science or social studies.
Jeez. And then you go further down the list. They get no art. They get no gym. They get none of the other things either that I think are just as important in education. Socialization being right at the top of the list of things that are important to me in education.
Exactly. And I remember being flabbergasted the first time a teacher said to me, I said, because I was there to write poetry, I said, well, what are they studying in science? You know, young kids, maybe they're studying bugs. We'll write poems about bugs. And she said, oh, these kids don't get science. I said, what? She said, no, they didn't pass the reading. So they only get reading for half a day and math for half a day. No science.
All I can say is, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, wow, no science for you.
Right.
That's just crazy.
And I think also, just as on the face of it, you try to use the same test to evaluate the teachers as evaluate the students is also ludicrous.
Crazy, crazy stuff. I suggest people take a look at the article. It's mind-blowing, and it's another one of those reasons why you go, we've got to really rethink this testing regime and get involved in our local schools. Sarah, I appreciate you taking a little time for us. Great piece. I hope everyone will take a look at it and then use it to contact their schools about these tests. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Rick. Thanks for shining a light on this. Thank you.
Great stuff. Thanks so much. Again, the piece, I can't answer these Texas standardized test questions about my own poem. We've got a link at thericksmithshow.com of how you can take a look at that. Quick break, right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk. I'm older now, and what?